man probably living at that time and all the things that he went through, like back to back to back. And so it was tough. My mentor, Brother Cecil, when I was going through preaching class, and I kind of expressed that to him, and he was like, well, Parker, you got to read the end of the book of Job. Amen. So don't just stop in the first three chapters, because the first three chapters make you want to put it down, because you don't understand it. But one of the things I like to see, even though Job had his problems, he never lost who he was. And I don't think any other scripture bears witness to this, any other passage of scripture bears witness to this than Job 31. Turn with me to Job chapter 31. And if you have any subheadings in your Bible, it's called Job's Integrity. You know, that's a big word, but oh my goodness, is it needed in our society today. Integrity can also be almost characterized the same as character. Someone once gave me the definition of character, and I think it fits, is character is what you do when nobody else is looking. Character is who you are when you don't think anybody else will find out. Character is so important for us today. The character of Christians, the world has a right to examine. But character is so important today. You think about our world today. You don't see many folks sticking up who are men of character or integrity. But I noticed that all the things that went bad with Job, he never lost his integrity. So we're going to read down through verses 1 through 15. I'll make some quick applications and the lesson will be yours. But it's the integrity of Job that just blows my mind. If anybody had a right to go into the world, if anybody had a right to feel justified to just live like he wanted to because of all the bad things that happened, I would think he'd be Job. But notice what he says here, beginning at verse 1. He says this, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Now here he is again dealing with the temptations that sometimes we all deal with. But he said he made a covenant with his eyes. Why did he make a covenant with his eyes? Because that's where adultery and fornication starts. It starts in the mind, but the mind, because the mind is distracted or thinking about impure things, our eyes then begin to focus on things that we should not be looking at or seeing. He says he made a covenant with his eyes, which meant that he's no different than you and I. He just made a decision to do the right thing. He said he made a covenant with his eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above? And what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? He says it in himself. He's talking. It's almost like he's talking to himself. I realize that God going to punish us when we disobey. I realize there's punishment attached to this. But look at our society today. We do certain things, and because we are beneficiaries of God's mercy, we don't always believe that there are going to be consequences for our actions. The question is, the answer is, yes, it is. We're not getting away with anything. Just because there are no immediate consequences here, best believe, we're going to have to answer for the deeds done in this life, whether it be good or bad. But I like this because Job, in spite of all these things, is keeping his integrity intact. Then it says this, Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? He sees and knows everything anyway. Do we realize that sometimes that you really can't hide anything from God? Now, it gets a little tougher when we say this. Do you realize that you can't even hide your thoughts from God? You can't just think something and just have it go. We can't hide anything from God. And that's where, as someone said, the battle of the soul is lost and won in our thought process. But I like this because he realizes it. Verse 5 says this, If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot have hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in and even balanced that God may know my integrity. God, you know my integrity. So if I do anything impure, if I walk with vanity or my foot has hastened to deceit, I know you're the righteous judge and you're going to judge me because of it. We can learn some things from this because oftentimes the only time integrity kicks in is when others find out. Oh, we get caught, as Brother Grady said. That's sometimes the only time we want to worry about integrity. You think about our world today. You think about from the top levels all the way down. This is missing. I'm just going to be honest. It's missing in so many ways. What happened to doing the right thing for righteousness' sake? What happened to just living a righteous life? Because that's what God wants. It's almost like it's a give and take. It's almost like I do right, but I got to get something out of it. What happened to that? We ought to be setting examples of this and doing the right thing no matter what it costs and what we get out of it or don't get out of it. Then it says this, verse 7, if my step have turned out of the way and my heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot have cleaved to mine hands. Notice he says it's still possible because he says if. He's like, I'm not above falling. I'm not above stumbling. That's one of the things we have to understand when we keep our integrity in place. The minute you think it can't happen to you is the minute you get ready to fall. The minute you say, I never, is the minute you get ready to let it happen. Because Satan hears that too. Oh, you never? Well, if I dress it up this way, or if I come at you at this angle, then I bet you would. So be careful about saying that. Well, even when we look at other folks, you know, sometimes Christians are harsh judges. And I'm not saying we don't do a righteous judgment, but I think sometimes we do a disservice by acting like we're so far removed from the stain of sin that it can't happen to us. Amen. Yes, it can. Under the right circumstances. And if you're honest with yourself, it's already probably happened.
That's right.
Nobody may not know about it, but it's probably happened to you too. So when we think about these things, let us think about this. Then it says this, verse 9, if my heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I lay wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind into another, and let others bow down upon her. He's like, so if I did it to somebody else, somebody has a right to do the same thing to me. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to think about how that ought to keep us in line. I want you to think about he's understanding that we reap what we sow. So if you don't want to reap it, don't sow it. That's what he's saying here. If I do this, and if I go after my handmaid, then easily I can't get mad if something happens the same way to me. What is he doing? He's keeping his integrity intact because he's looking at things from all angles. Because one of the things that causes us to lose our integrity is, it'll never happen to me. Or this, my situation is different, you see. I'm different. I know what the Bible says about such and such, but he don't understand. Yes, he does. He's not going to make any exceptions for any of us. So it lets us know this. This is just Job just being honest. And then notice what he says. For this is a heinous crime. A heinous crime. It's not just something you're doing. It's just not something you're enjoying. It's not just a man being a man or a woman being a woman. This is a heinous crime. Notice what he's saying here. Does our society say that? Absolutely not. Does our society think this? Absolutely not. When you think the last studies I showed that adultery and fornication is way over 50%, divorce is over 50%, even in the Lord's church. We've gotten tied up into what the world says. And the world says it's okay, you deserve to be happy, all those other things, but integrity means we're going to do the right thing for righteousness' sake. Then it says this. So he's telling us all these things. Then it says, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction and would root out all mine increase. It's going to destroy my life. Now, I want you to think about this. And folks who had their lives destroyed because they fell victim to this. They've lost their families. They've lost their increase. Whatever blessings, material blessings, it probably cost them that. So it's going to cost you something. And sometimes we realize when we're participating in it, we don't think about what it costs us. We're just enjoying it wrapped up in that moment. But Job's keeping his integrity in fact because this is a conversation he's having with himself. This is a conversation that when he comes upon this temptation, this is also a strategy we should use before we enter into some kind of sin. Look at things from God's perspective. Look down the road a little bit and see what it could potentially cost you. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. That ought to make things clear real quick. We can't just think with our flesh. We can't just act upon the flesh because the flesh will get you in situations that you don't want to pay the tab on. And it's coming back. It's coming to roost. And then it says this. If I despise the cause of my manservant or maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God rises up and when he visited me? What shall I answer? If I treat them wrong, if I use my power and influence to take advantage of them, what am I going to say to the righteous judge? Think about that for a moment. Because our country is power hungry. And it's like it's a disease that's going rampant. And oftentimes we don't care who we use. We don't care who we hurt. We don't care as long as we get what we want to get. But we don't think about the fact that we're going to have to ask for that one day to the righteous judge. And these last two verses, think about this now. Look at what he's talking about. And this, again, goes off into another lesson I won't have time for, and I'll do it later on. Verse 15. Did he not made that made me in the womb make him? And did he not fashion us in the womb? Now, for all of those who believe that abortion is okay, they got a problem with this. He says he fashioned them in the womb, which lets us know that life begins at conception. At conception. That is a life and a soul. But our society doesn't see it today. They say such things as this: a woman's right. Oh, that child is not. That fetus, they give it a name to detach humanity from it. It's a fetus until a certain point. And now when certain states, they are proven of abortion in the ninth month, when you know that's a living being that can survive on its own. Think about that for a moment. Think about the fact of he's showing us something here that is pretty potent and powerful. I won't get into that, but I'll do some teaching on it in the beginning of the year because we need to be able to stand on the things of God. It's not popular, but oh my goodness, we need to stand for the things of God and realize that life is precious. But here again, in closing, is Job keeping his integrity in check? He was giving himself a self-check, so to speak. Why did he mention this? Well, he must have mentioned it because he may have felt tempted in these areas. And we're going to be tempted in certain areas, but with wisdom, the knowledge comes wisdom. We got to be wise, and don't ever think that it won't happen to you, and don't ever think your situation is different, because that's the lie that Satan tells us. That's the lie he tells us. But I like that because Job is having this conversation with himself. He's looking at all the ramifications of his actions, not just now, but in the future. Then he goes back and says, I was God from the womb, and he was as well, or she was, or whoever it is. He created us not to be people who don't have integrity, but he created us to be a light in this world. And I think once we get back to understanding that we are required to live as we preach or practice what we preach, then the world will be a better place. And I'm not saying we're not doing it, but I'm saying more of us need to do it and don't shy away from it. We're afraid to speak up about some things. We should speak up. Not all of us. Amen. Not all of us. But oh my goodness, there's no more time needed now than to stand up for the principles and things of God in our society, and it's needed. It's going to cost you some friends. It may cost you to be kicked out of some places. It may cost you to be unfriended on Facebook. It's going to cost you some stuff, but yet and still, we ought to be willing to stand for truth in this world, this crooked and perverse generation. What must we do to be saved? We must hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. That places in the Christ Jesus makes us new creatures. But then we struggle. Then we don't always come up with the right answer, do the right thing, even when we're tempted, or even when we're drawn away with our own lust. But aren't we glad that God has given us the avenue of repentance to get those things right? Doesn't mean that the consequences won't be there, but we ought to be even more glad that we serve a God who says, I'm not going to stop and interfere with my law of reaping and sowing, but I will help you with the harvest. Whatever it is, I'll help you deal with it. And that's the God that we serve, and we serve a merciful and awesome God. So if you have one desire or the other to put on Christ in baptismal request, special prayer, we ask you to please.